Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Thank you so much for what you're going to do in this room. God, we honor everything that you've done and what you're about to do in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. All right, I'm going to test this out because I need this morning. Adrian Irvine, give us a wave so everyone can see you. This man is an ex-military. You were artillery, is that right?
Infantry.
Guns, cannons, rifles. You can measure the distance between here and Stephanie Hutchison, yeah? How far is that?
20 metres?
20 metres, is that it? This thing promises 45 metres, but it's not delivering at the moment. Let's see what happens with new batteries. All right. Here we are. Is that working? Is that not working? Oh, is that me or is that you? That was you, Steph. All right. Let me try. Oh, got jibbed. All right, that's okay. Pentecost Sunday. We're going to unpack what Pentecost Sunday means from Scripture, from Jewish tradition as well, because it all kind of interweaves and links in. So let's go to the first lot of scriptures in Luke 24, 46 to 49. Many of us know the Great Commission. If we haven't met, by the way, my name is Alex, and I pastor this church with my beautiful wife, Jess, and we look after our Victorian campuses. And we just celebrated our 10-year birthday celebration 2 weeks ago. Many people are saved, delivered, and healed. And I'm going to go through some testimonies. And ironically, many people got sick as well. And so I think half the church was away last week. But I said to our church congregation, take it like this. 3 weeks ago, I got hit hard with the flu. And now I've got my immune system rocking for winter. And you're all back now and more. And so I figure you're all healthy unless you want to spread some more. But take it as your immune system for this winter coming up. Amen. Who's feeling good in the house? Luke 24, 46 to 49. This is Luke's take on the Great Commission. We know from the platform here, we preach a lot from Matthew 28. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you until the very end. I actually like Luke's version too. It says this, he told them, this is what it is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance, we're touching repentance in the Greek, is metanoia, which means a change of mind. It's not a dirty word. It's change of mind. It's not to say grovel and beg. It's a change of mind. For the forgiveness of sins, to turn from your sins. If you can change your mind about your lifestyle, God can change your heart. For the forgiveness of sins, and will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses. Everyone say witnesses.
Witnesses.
Of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with
power.
In the Greek, power is dunamis, miraculous working power, through God's ability in us from on high. Jesus is saying, go to the city until you have been clothed with power. Don't leave until you receive power. And then when you have received power, don't just stay, but go. Yeah. Amen? The dunamis working power is the power of God in us. Miraculous working power to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. It's a spirit of knowledge. It's a spirit of wisdom. It's the spirit of sound mind. That's why we can see people like Lee Wong with his history of drugs and imprisonment. He's now our trusted evangelist and pastor with a mercy score of 9 recently in a spiritual gift survey out of 30. And then I hear at the start of the term with this spiritual gift service, Lee was shocked. 9 out of 30 for mercy. And then I find out he's been calling all these sick people. He got a call from Lee Wong this past. We all got all these hands and praying for them, reaching out to them. I think he's gone now from a 9 to a 9.2 or maybe 9.5. But I want to honour Lee and the interns this past Wednesday as we gathered. We did our usual thing. We worshipped with devotions, Bible revival, teacher scriptures. And then we did something a little bit different with our pastoral calls. We normally call our new people, but I think it was Kirsten and Gina at the same time had this idea. Let's split the group in half. Let's call the new people, but then let's write on the whiteboard a list of Fire Church family members that we know who are sick. And sometimes we don't know because no one's reaching out. And so we call these people who are sick. And hands up if you did get a call this week, if you were sick. Praise God. And so we want to honour the interns for praying for you all as well. But we do this because we know we carry something powerful. It is Holy Spirit in us. It says, you shall be clothed with power from on high. It's not your own doing. It's not your own strength. It's not your own wishful thinking that you're going to heal someone. It's actually God's power from on high. Let's go to the next verse, Acts 1, verse 78. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive, ever say power.
Power.
Power, that's the dunamis, miraculous working power through God's ability in us. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Here's that word again. He's Luke, the author of Acts, as he wraps up Luke, he's quoting Jesus. He's capturing those words, you shall be my witnesses. And now he's saying it again, he's quoting Jesus. He's writing down what Jesus said again. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. How do you fulfill the Great Commission? You need power. You need
power.
You need power from God. It's kind of like, and that's a poor example. It's kind of like this. This phone doesn't work unless it has power. And I heard a preacher recently talk about rest time and downtime. Downtime isn't necessarily just switching off. Yes, I value that, the importance of just switching things off. I play golf and I had a bit more patience. I like to cook complicated recipes because it forces you to think and not think about work, think about the recipe. Golf, if you're thinking about other things, your swing's going to go everywhere and the ball's going to hit a house if you're in Sandhurst, and apologize for all those house owners. But you need power. And this preacher said, how we rest as believers isn't necessarily just turning this thing off. If you're down to 2%, you don't just turn this off. What do? You plug it in. You plug it in and you let it rest. It's not just say, goodbye world, goodbye Jesus. I'm just going to go into my cocoon and do a Netflix binge for the next 8 hours. No, how we rest is we switch off the world and we plug into Jesus. And then, yes, if you've done that, get into your Avengers, whatever it is you're into. My son's into the Avengers. He wants to have an Avengers party next month. Let's go to the next scripture. I'm just setting things up here. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Other translation says they were all together in one accord and in one place. In unity, as just talked about. There is power when the people of God dwell together in unity. How beautiful it is when brethren dwell together in unity. I know the saying in the modern Christian world is where there's unity, God commands a blessing. But we kind of shortchange ourselves because in the middle of that, Psalm 133, it says, it's like where there is unity, it's like the oil of anointing that flows down Aaron's beard. So I'd like to kind of change our language as a modern day church. Where there is unity, anointing flows. Where there is unity, blessing comes. Where there is unity, where there is unity, anointing flows. And suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled. Everyone say all. And if you're willing this morning, you can be filled as well. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. As the Spirit enabled them. I'm going to jump a little bit now to Mark 16. Mark's take on the Great Commission. And let's go to verse 14. So remember, they spoke in tongues. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. It's not on the screen. This is a bonus one this morning. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Are we still open to the rebuke and the correction of the Lord? Even if what is in Scripture goes against our own experience, our own thinking of how things should go, are we still open perhaps to the correction of the Lord? Our theology shouldn't be based on our experience, but our theology should be based on the written word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away. Prophecies will fail. But his word will stand forever. Amen? And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Yes, we do that here. They will speak in new tongues. He's giving us a little prelude what's going to happen in the book of Acts. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents. Anyone got a brown snake? And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This past week, as I mentioned, we were just calling people. Brother Terrence, I don't think you're here. Oh, you are. Terry, welcome back. Can I share? Terrence got admitted into hospital on Saturday night. I think it was respiratory stuff. Yep. And I find out about a day after with your son and just checking up on Terry. On Tuesday, before the staff meeting started, I checked in on Terry and he said, I'm feeling better, but the doctors want to keep me here and continue to run tests because I have Legionnaires. But I feel good. And I said, that's all good, Terry. We'll pray for you as a staff group. And, you know, just spontaneously at the end of the worship, it was on the blood of Jesus. The worship song was on the blood of Jesus. I said, guys, let's just do communion. Whoever wants to jump in, do the body. Natalie does the body. Go, Robin, can you do the blood? Robin teaches on the blood. And then I go, we're going to lift up Terrence right now in his hospital bed. And in the mighty name of Jesus, we'll command this Legionnaires to go and full healing to his body in Jesus' mighty name. And then the meeting transitions. I look down on my phone. 3 minutes earlier, Terrence sends me an SMS around the time we were praying for him. Hi, Pastor Alex. Just want to let you know the doctors have just come in and have apologized because they mixed up my test results. I don't have Legionnaires. But they fixed them up for the other things, so the breathing stuff. So praise God. You can stand in the gap on behalf of someone and not even need to be physically in the room laying hands on them. Jesus said he has found great faith in who? The centurion. He wasn't even a Jew. This centurion who saw with his own eyes the works of Jesus, and he said, Jesus, will you heal my servant who is in my household? And he said, you don't even need to come to my place. Because I'm a man under authority and I know how this works. If I say to this person, go, they'll go. And if you say that he will be healed at your word, I know it will work. So just say it and I'll believe it and I'll receive it. Amen. And then when they checked on that servant, they realized at that time when he was talking to Jesus and Jesus said he'll be healed, That's when it happened. Have the faith. If you can lay hands on the sick, do so. If you're far away, pray for them. I felt this just came to mind. Our previous graphic designer who moved into the state, we had this series in, I think it was actually around this time of year, in 2020, Demons and Deliverances. So I'm a man under authority, I just quoted the centurion, and I was about to break authority and I said to Kath, oh, that's Dan's title, but it's pretty full on, isn't it? Demons and Deliverance, let's maybe soften it, let's be slightly seeker sensitive for the online crowd. And then I felt the Holy Spirit rebuke. He goes, what are you doing? Go, yeah, sorry. Kath, changed my mind. Sorry for the back and forth. Demons and Deliverance. We go with Demons and Deliverance. Dan, Ben, teach on this subject. And then Catherine, she's now celebrated. Yeah, it was about May, just a few weeks ago. 2 years, now completely set free from 23 years of eating disorder, bulimia, should be throwing up on a daily. At the end of Demons and Deliverance, teaching with Ben and Dan, she said she was in her bedroom watching and she hit the floor and she couldn't get up and she felt this dark presence and heaviness lift off. She didn't even realize she'd been delivered of eating disorders until 1 week later she said to herself, I haven't thrown up once. Then her appetite started to grow. Her fingernails started to heal. Her skin and hair started to heal as she took on a proper diet. And just recently, a few weeks back, she testified, I've been set free now. 2 years or 3 years. I've been set free now for 3 years. If you have the faith to believe, you shall cast out demons. You shall heal the sick. This is stuff that we didn't even pray for. We were here in the worship about last month. And as we sung, what was that song? A Great Are You God, one of those awesome old school hymns. Heather, are you here in the room? Heather was in the back and she said she blew her nose and she heard bones cracking in her ears and her partial deafness was gone. She waited until the end of the service just to make sure it's definitely healed. There's no more ringing in the ears. She can hear clearly. And then she gets up at the very end and she testifies. Last week, I saw her here at the altar and I asked, how's your hearing? She goes, perfect. There's not one issue at all. No more ringing, no more tinnitus. And that's just Holy Spirit doing what he wants. Amen. I like those ones where you don't have to kind of call it out. Just like, Holy Spirit, whatever you want. This is your church. This is your service. Move however you want to move. Isn't he good? All right, so Pentecost, let's go. What does this word mean, Pentecost? Penti means, oh, slow down, thank you. 50, thanks, Steph. Because you hear these terminologies being, you know, thrown around and I'm mindful in the room, there's a few new Christians as well. When I first heard this, I was like, yeah, okay, great. I guess I'm a Pentecostal. The day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit came and the church was birthed and 3,000 was added on that day. But if we unpack the meaning of it and the significance, Penti means 50. It actually runs congruently with the Feast of Weeks, a Jewish holiday. Jay Schelling, get up and rebuke and correct me if I get any of this wrong. And, you know, Shavuot, is that how you say it? Shavuot. Okay. Shavuot, I did see that on the internet, something like that as well. Literally just translates into weeks. It's 7 weeks, let's go to the next part, and then we're going to contrast it to the upper room experience as well. It's 49 days, or 7 weeks, after Passover, and therefore the 50th day, 7 weeks between Passover, Pesach, right? The Jewish calendar where they take 7 days to celebrate the passing of the spirit of death over Egypt, as Pharaoh wanted to hold the Israelites in bondage, in slavery, to say, you can't go and worship your God in the wilderness. You must stay here. 10 plagues, and the final one being the spirit of death, killing every firstborn male and cattle in that land. And we see now the the Israelites celebrate Pesach, 8 days in diaspora for those living outside of Jerusalem. But there was three major festivals in the Israelites' time when the temple was up, that they had to pilgrimage back to Jerusalem, back to Israel. And one of them was the Feast of Weeks. It was the celebration of harvest. And let's go to the next part as well. And also it coincides, theologians also believe that it was a 7-week trek through the desert to get to Mount Sinai, where the law was given to Moses. So this is a significant calendar, significant date in the Jewish calendar. And this is why we see that there was a multitude of Jewish believers, Hebrew believers, on the day of Pentecost to celebrate this very significant festival. And so you have here gathered in the upper room, let's go one point down, which was exactly 49 days after Resurrection Sunday, the 50th day, when the Holy Spirit came, 50th day, after Jesus ascended to heaven when he roamed the earth for 40 days. So Resurrection Sunday, he's back to life, he's out of the tomb, he's speaking to his disciples, he's walking through walls, he's showing Thomas the holes in his hands, and he's given the great commission to go into all the world and preach the good news, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. And he says, but don't leave the city until you have received power. 40 days. And then the Bible says that the disciples saw him ascend to heaven. They had 10 days. 10 days to really believe, will Jesus come through? They didn't even have the 10-day mark. They had no clue when this thing was going to happen, this promise of the Holy Spirit, this promise of power. But 10 days they waited in the upper room in one accord and in prayer. The Bible talks about 10 in different areas of scriptures. 10 meaning completeness of order. 10 also representing testing. You look at the 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise. 10. The foolish ones, they didn't stay awake. I didn't say woke. Don't go woke. Stay awake. Stay awake to the things of God, what's happening in the world, and how to view it through the Word of God. 10 virgins, 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. They had enough oil in their reserve. Verse 10. It says, test me in this. See that I will not pour out a blessing you can't contain. Talking about bringing your tithes and your offerings. And in the New Living Translation, the last word in Malachi 3:10 is put me to the test. 10 representing testing. Are we willing to pass the test and have the faith to believe in God that, you know what? If you've done it for my brother Lee here, could you also do it for me? If you've done it in Peter Cole and his business, can you also do it for me? If you've done it in Christine and as she's laid hands on the sick over the years, as she's been activated here, can you also do it in me? Can you do it through Jess? If you've done it in Jess in years ago, in a prayer staff meeting in our old building, singing in tongues, and a former Samoan intern just rocked by the presence of God because she can hear her native tongue in Samoan, could you also do it in me? 10 representing testing. Let's go to the next part. So Holy Spirit descends in wind, a violent wind and fire, cloven tongues of fire upon each believer's head. Everyone in the room is invited to receive the gift and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It enables you to do things beyond your own strength, your own power, your own ability. I can't heal the sick. In fact, I don't heal the sick. It's Holy Spirit in me. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. I don't take any glory. I don't take any credit. It is all Him. But you got to be a willing, broken vessel to let the treasures of heaven come out of you. The Holy Spirit to come out of you and touch those in need. Amen. So the law on the left was given to Moses, but now the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, He writes the law on our hearts. We're going from just doctrinal beliefs, and we hold on to the Word of God. We should never separate the experience of the Holy Spirit from Scriptures. In fact, you can't have a genuine, authentic relationship without the Word of God. You need this to have a powerful and authentic relationship with Holy Spirit. The Word and the Spirit is not mutually exclusive. They don't operate on their own. They're hand in hand. They go together. If you say, oh, Holy Spirit told me that you're going to be my wife. First of all, that sounds so desperate. And often our experience in helping people in this area is, it's not a high strike rate, is it? When it's kind of like, when that's your first thing coming out of your mouth, that's kind of weird. Just say hi first, introduce the name, get to know their name. And then if you really feel the Holy Spirit, then just say, God said, you're my wife. No. We line it up with the Word of God. Before I asked Jess out on a date, I fasted and prayed for 2 weeks. Not with the goal to get a girlfriend, but at the start of each year, I'll fast and pray for 2 weeks. God, speak to me. What do you want to do this year? And scriptures just started to pour in. To my surprise, Jess was on the agenda. The following month, at the start of February, and I asked the Lord, is she the one? But I'm scared because I've treated relationships in an idolatrous way. I put relationships above God, and I say, God, I don't want this anymore. I've been single for about 2 years now, and I don't want to ruin what we have. I don't want another person to get in the way of this. And so God, in His loving mercy, pointed me to scriptures. I think it was Isaiah 43, verse 5 to 8. Someone can fact check me, I don't mind. But it talks about how it was once idols that spoke to you, but it is no longer idols, but it is I. I thought, wow, the exact verse that I needed. It's no longer an idol, but it is the Lord Himself speaking now. Exactly what I needed to hear. So that in my fumbling, I asked Jess, hey, Jess, I don't want to seem like, you know, a pansy and hang out with the boys on Valentine's Day. Do you want to go to mate's date? That's how you do it. Deception. You deceive him into a date. Single Life Workshop. I'm ready to facilitate. Just call me. $3,000 was added that day. We can start a church, we can start another campus just based on the doctrine and the Word of God, and many movements have started in that fashion, in that manner, and I love how it is built on the Word of God, but sadly, they also grieve the Holy Spirit by denying the power and the person of the Holy Spirit for today. They say the Holy Spirit died with the apostles. Sorry, not the Holy Spirit died, sorry, correction. The gifts of healings and the miraculous things died with the apostles when they died. That is theologically incorrect. Let's go to not the next one. I'm going to have to go there manually now because I copied and pasted my slides and I typed over the one I needed at this very moment. Acts 3. Let's try and find this. No, it's not. It's Acts 2. This, if someone can find this for me, but it goes, and this promise is for you and for your sons and for those who are near and those who are far off. Thank you, Lee. Acts 2:39. I'll go back to 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God will call. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. And essentially it's because we kind of check ourselves out of the race. This is a free gift, friends. What we're about to do in this room and to anoint people and baptize you in the Holy Spirit, we're not going to force it upon you. So we're not going to say, hey, come through our tunnel and you might get Holy Spirit. We're going to call up hungry ones. We see in Acts 4, after the apostles were, Peter and John were arrested and released from prison. There was a great hunger in the room with their disciples to say, God, will you pour out your Spirit again? And as the Holy Spirit came upon them again, it says at the end of that chapter, that great boldness came upon them and they spoke the word. This is not my natural gifting. People, my friends in high school kind of look at me startled because they know how nervous I used to be in public speaking. Even as a baby Christian, I hated speaking up in a Bible study group of six people. This is not my gifting. This is not my own doing, I mean. This is Holy Spirit's gifting. It's Holy Spirit's boldness. If you're willing to be refilled, have a fresh outpouring, just like in Acts 4, and perhaps you're in the room and you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need power. You need power for your family, for your work, for your ministry, for your life. You need the power of God. Because you might find yourself in a hospital room on behalf of a young person, and the doctors are saying there's nothing more we can do. This cancer has taken over. There's nothing more we can do. You need the power of God to lay hands on that person and believe for a miracle, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, and now go lay hands on the sick, like Jesus said, and you shall see them recover. Amen. Pentecost Sunday. Do we understand what that means now? 50 days from Resurrection Sunday, when Holy Spirit came in a mighty rushing wind and cloven tongues of fire. This is the fire of God. We need the fire of God in us. Why do I, and many of us in this room, act like madmen and jump up like crazy during praise and worship? It's because it's the fire of God. It's the passion of God in us. And I thank God it's a fiery church. I've always dreamt of pastoring a church like this, that we'd hit the streets, we'll tell people about Jesus, see them come to the building, we'll have wild praise and worship. I don't know if we can do better in the back rows. I love you all, I'm kidding. But the fire of God to come upon your life, to come upon your family, your business, your ministry, whatever God has asked you to do, you're not to do it in your own strength. In fact, if you know there's a call of God in your life and you've never received a baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can't do it. Simply put, you can't do it on your own. So with everyone standing up, the first call I felt to do was to anyone in the room who's never received the forgiveness for their sins, that if you die tonight, you don't know where you're going. And tomorrow, we say this often, tomorrow is not promised. On Friday night at the wedding, I was chatting with Rochelle, Nigel and Jess, and how we were talking about how beautiful the wedding's been and so forth. Then I just realized, you know, I say this often a lot, like tomorrow's not promised, but and you don't know when your time is up. It was 7 years ago. There's a beloved couple in our church. They're away this weekend. And, you know, we're chatting about this. And we were at their wedding. And as soon as we were in the reception area in the foyer of the church, we see ambulances rock up. And we thought, what's going on? It was all kind of kept low-key, just for those who needed to know. The pastor who married our friends, when the room was cleared, he stepped off the platform. He had an aneurysm, just something you can't predict, and he passed away. But as a believer, we grieve different from how the world grieves. He went from one wedding to another, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he left behind a wife and a 10 and 11-year-old. We're just talking about this story. 5 minutes later, the friend that I'm talking about, the groom, rings me out of the blue. He doesn't know I'm at a wedding. He rings me just about something about the business breakfast coming up. I go, oh, bro, we were just chatting about you and your wedding and your pastor. Is it okay if I actually use this testimony? He goes, you know what? The timing's right. They went to the wife's house, the widow's house, and the two daughters about 2 months ago, something like that. Surprise visit, interstate. Surprise visit to Adelaide. Knocked on the door, and the girls are now 17 and 18. How life goes quick. And they were just in surprise in the best possible way. They were just in excitement. And they said, we feel at home when you guys are here. They haven't seen each other in person for 7 years. The wife has grieved. She's moved on. She hasn't remarried, but our friends said they found healing. This is the beautiful picture of our God. That he can make all things work for good for those that love him, for those that love him, for those that love him and are called according to his purposes. But we are thankful for that pastor, as his last words were, I introduce to you Mr. and Mrs. so forth. They'll share their testimony one day soon. He went from one wedding to another. We are the bride of Christ, the Bible says. And he sees us as a spotless bride because of the blood shed out on the cross for us, for you and me, for our sins. When the Father looks at us, he doesn't see our stains. He doesn't see our sins anymore. He removes them as far as the east is from the west. So we know in confidence, with full confidence, that this man of God went into his eternal rest with our Father in heaven. Tomorrow is not promised. Your next breath, dare I say, is not even promised. You don't know your time. Don't put this off any further. If you're not right with God, and if you died and you're not sure, are you going to heaven or hell? Let's just answer that question right now with a yes. If you're willing to repent, to turn from your sins, ask God to forgive you and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Is there anyone here that would like to get right with God? Come to the front right now. We'll be patient. I did this too 20 years ago. And I thank God I did. It saved me a whole bunch of heartache. It's more than just a ticket to heaven. It's actually life and life more abundant here on earth with your Savior. So let's just pray this prayer. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus, that you sent him to die on my behalf. For all my sins and my mistakes, I ask for your forgiveness. Wash me clean. Enter my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Let's give a clap for those who prayed that. Either for the first time or you're rededicating your life to Jesus. And if you did do that, can I just ask you to do something bold and come to the front? We'd love to meet you, get to know you. We don't just want to make quick converts, the Bible says, to make disciples. You can't do this walk on your own. There's no such thing as a Rambo renegade Christian. It's done in community, it's done in family, and it's done with people discipling you as well. So if you do feel very shy, please just let us know there on that QR code. We'll follow you up. But if that's you, can I encourage you right now to come to the front? I'm going to call upon anyone that is sick in their body, that has injuries, something about a toe, left toe issue, come to the front. If you have a shoulder injury, come to the front. Whatever ailment in your body you have, come here. I got a message from our same friend, the groom, who I spoke with on Friday night, that is away this weekend with his family. He messaged me a few days before that to share a testimony that he brought a friend to our Celebration X revival meetings, and this gentleman who was in the his third year of apprenticeship, 2004, was trying to lift a transmission on his own. He did his back. Ever since then, he's had numbing pain, sharp shooting pain randomly, and he couldn't shake it off. After receiving prayer in this building just 2 weeks ago, let's give up for our brother. Come on. Jesus, you're worthy. First time, brother? What's your name? Sebastian. Come on, praise Jesus. Even if one sinner, the Bible says, was to come to the Lord, heaven rejoices and we rejoice with you. Well done, bro. Well done. And so we'll pray soon. This gentleman, he receives prayer. He feels good. He cancels his doctor's appointment, and the doctor is shocked and says, "Why? Because my back feels better." He goes, "Oh, nonsense. Come in for some scans." He sees the scans. He says, "I've never seen a back like this in the last 12 months. In the area of my industry, it's refreshing to see a back like yours. All those issues that you had is no longer there, and the early onset of arthritis is not there at all. There's no evidence at all. God gave him a new back. If you need a new back in this place, if you need a new ligament, whatever it is, head, shoulders, knees, and toes, I don't care. Come to the front. We've got a prayer team with a lanyard on. We're going to lay hands on you and pray. And then the last call out as well, please just let us know. The last call out is if anyone needs a fresh touch from Holy Spirit, either for the first time you're receiving Holy Spirit, a baptism of the Holy Spirit, receiving the gift of tongues, if you're perhaps praying in tongues and you've always desired to prophesy, Paul said it like this. He said, "I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more so that you would also prophesy." If you have a hunger and desire for the power of God in your own life, come to the front and we're going to pray with you. And we can have some backing tracks as well. Online, if you're watching, hello to all our Geelong crew, our Canberra crew as well. If you need healing in your body or anyone else online, please let us know in the comments and we'll be praying for you too. Let's fill the front for anyone that needs prayer for salvation, for healing, and for a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And team, we can have some music in the background. That would be amazing. Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Sebastian. Was there anyone else that's given their life to Jesus this morning? Anyone else? Sebastian, let's just stretch out our hands as well to Sebastian. Father, we thank you for Sebastian, for his courage and boldness to just come up and say, "Yes, God, enough is enough." And today marks my day for salvation. On this day, Sunday, 28th of May, Father God, on Pentecost Sunday, we thank you, Lord, that you see this heart of repentance that says, "Yes, Lord, I turn from my sins and I turn to you, Lord. Washed in by the blood of Jesus." God, we pray for this heart that you would also guard his mind, his heart in Christ Jesus. Guard his life, a hedge of protection around him, like Job. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Lord. Make him brand new. Behold, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, the old has passed and the new has come, and he's made you a minister of reconciliation. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, Father, thank you, Lord, for every sick person in this room. We command healing in their bodies. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Do it, God. Do it, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for healing in people's bodies right now, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. I sense people, some may have already started to experience breakthrough and healing as the worship was played or as the word was spoken. Father, we pray for a continual work in their bodies, complete healing in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. As the team gets around, let's just continue praying. And for those who are hungry for a fresh touch, for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, let's just raise our hands. You can be in your seats right now as well. Let's just raise our hands to heaven. Father, I thank you, Lord, for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. I thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to do it in our own strength. It's not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, says the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. We thank you, Lord, for Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge to do what you've asked us to do and called us into, Lord, in our businesses, in our workplaces, in our families, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Do your mighty work in your people today, a fresh touch of you, a fresh touch of you right now.
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about Fire Church, head to our website, firechurch.com.au. And don't forget to connect with us on social media, on Instagram, fire.church, Facebook, Fire Church, and YouTube, Fire Church TV. Have a blessed week.